Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and today I'm really excited about the first guest that I have on, because whenever out there in the quilt world people collaborate on a project, I always find that to be super exciting. You know, something new and different always happens when a couple different people get together to create something. And so I was talking with my buddy, author and novelist Marie Boswick. She writes the quilt novels, and she told me that she and Deb Tucker, quilt designer Deb Tucker, had gotten together and done a project. So I thought this would be really fun. Let's have them on here. You can get to know both of them and learn what kind of fun stuff they're doing. So hi, Marie. Hi, Deb. How are you? Hey.
It's Deb.
Yes, Deb. Hi, Deb. How are you?
Hi, Pat. I'm good. I was waiting for Marie to say hello to you first.
I'm trying to be polite.
Oh, there you are. Hi, Marie.
There you are.
Hi, Pat.
Well, I'm glad you're both here. Yeah, this is really exciting. Marie, why don't you first tell me, how you and Deb got to know each other? You know, how did, because you're a novelist and Deb's a quilt designer.
Yeah. And I actually ended up taking one of Deb's classes. I had just finished a book. Mm-hmm. And I really just wanted to get away and do some quilting. And so I showed up at a retreat that she was doing. I didn't know her at all, but it just looked like a fun quilt. And it was in Vermont, which I love. You know, it's never a bad day in Vermont as far as I'm concerned. So I showed up, but I went incognito. I went under a different name.
Oh.
And this is where it gets funny. So I went under a different name.
Definitely
and,
funny.
And it is. And it was right before I had a book release. Well, there's lots of business to be done at that time. So
right.
I kept having to step out to take phone calls from my editor and answer email and all this stuff. And long story short, Deb finally kind of grabbed me and she was like, you know, you're at a quilting treat, relax. And I said, well, I can't. You don't understand.
Yeah.
I have to do all this business or it won't be done. And she finally was just like, who the heck are you?
You? Are you the president's assistant? You know, what
exactly.
Are you doing?
Exactly.
So, Deb,
so I kind of confessed my guilty secret to her, but I asked her not to tell anybody about it, right?
Yeah, right.
So
almost an impossible task. But anyway, we'll keep
almost
going.
Almost an impossible task, you know. But she was curious about the books, and I happened to have a coffee upstairs in my room. And I said, well, I'll give you one later. And so I went down real late at night. There was just a couple people left in the sewing room by that time because I waited. And so I kind of slipped the book across the table to Deb. And while I did this, one of the other, there was two women, I think, only left at that point, looks up and she says, oh, have you read that book? I've been reading that book, and I just love it. I have one more. Well, you know what? My resolve to stay anonymous just kind of disappeared at that point.
Well, her comment was actually, would you like me to sign it for you? And the woman whips around and looks at the woman, and looks at Marie, who she's been quilting with all weekend long, and says, oh, it's you!
Oh, my gosh. What a story. You need to make a quilt just from that story. That is so funny.
It was hilarious. It was
a good one.
Oh, my gosh. So, Deb, tell me, you know, when you met Marie, was it one of those friendships that just sort of happened, or did that kind of go on later?
It was absolutely instantaneous. You know, whether she was an author or not, or whether, you know, I think wherever we would have met, we would have been instant friends.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No
but,
question.
But you know, the fact that we were both quilters and that we both, you know, are very similar personalities, it was a perfect match right from the beginning.
Yeah, we always have so much fun.
Gives me the goosebumps when that happens. So first, let's go back to Marie. Now, you are a novelist, and you have a whole series of books, and your newest book is coming out in a few days.
On April 24th, and the new book, and it's the fifth in my Cobbled Court Quilt series of novels, is called Ties That Bind. And yeah, I think everybody should, you know, rush in a white heat to their bookstore on the 24th of April and pick up 5 or 6 copies would be fun.
Or order it ahead of time.
Or you could order it ahead of time. Or you could come see me on the road or in Paducah or wherever. Yeah.
Well, tell me a little bit about, let's give people who haven't met you yet, Marie, a little background about your novels, because they're all quilt, this group of them are all quilt-based. Tell me just a little brief, what's the series about?
Well, this series, it is quilt-based, although I would say probably half my readers can't even thread a needle, you know, because it is really about the relationship between the characters, about camaraderie among women, it's about community, it's about faith, but it's women's fiction. And so it's always about subjects which I think real women can really relate to. The transitions we have in our lives, the challenges as we are, you know, aging or being young, our marriages or not marriages, children, family, health, you name it, I'm going to tackle it if I think it's something that honest to heaven walking around women are having to deal with.
Cool. Now, how often do you put out this series? You have 5, you said. So this
5
is the fifth
so far. About 1 a year.
About 1 a year. Okay. Someone left me a note who's one on my blog, who's a reader of the books, and she did ask, you know, was there any little secret of what the series is going towards that you could share?
Oh, my gosh. Well, people often ask me, like, how many books are there going to be in this series? I don't know. I love writing about these characters, and there has been a rumor that I'm ending the series, and that is not true. As long as you guys keep reading them, I'm happy to keep writing them. I will say that I am working on right now an additional new series, which just should be out next year, with one of the spinoff characters from the Cobbled Court novels. Those of you who've read it know about Mary Dell Templeton, who's from Texas. And she's going to have her own series, and those books are going to be called the Too Much Texas Novels. And I'm having a great time with them. But I'm going to go back to Cobbled Court because I just love these characters.
Well, let's talk a little bit about collaboration. Deb, when did the idea of doing something together with Marie occur? You know, how'd that happen?
Well, actually, I think it was more Marie's idea than it was my idea. Again, it was an instant friendship, which was great. And I think it was probably, maybe 2-3 weeks after the retreat was over, she called me. She said, "Can I talk to you?" And I'm thinking, oh, what did I do? What didn't I do at this retreat? And basically she just said, you know, would you consider bringing the quilts to life that she has in her head and eventually in her head ends up in the book? And I said, I thought it sounded like a fun thing to do. It's a challenge, and it's something that, you know, I've only worked on a couple of commission projects before in the past, but, you know, it sounded like a lot of fun, and it has been.
So what's the process you two have gone through? Now, tell me, what these are going to be quilts that people can purchase, single patterns from you, Deb?
We have 2 different types.
Okay.
I generally design a smaller, simpler, easy to write, easy to do type of project that I give to Marie, and Marie posts on her website. Now, those are for your readers, Marie?
They have to, for people who are registered reading friends on my website, and you can do that by going to www.mariebostwick.com, you can download these Deb Tucker patterns. Well, and it's not, we have one pattern that's by my dear friend Chris Borsma-Smith, and that was the very first pattern called Broken Hearts Mending, and then Deb's been doing some for me, too. So those are just available free to the readers.
Yep. And then what I do is I design a little bit more involved project and a bigger size quilt, not always full-size bed quilt, because the one we did for the Threading the Needle book is called Providence, and it's a pretty little wall hanging, embellished to the nth degree. And Marie, that's one of the things about being, when you work with someone else's ideas, Mm-hmm. You have to follow their ideas, and sometimes it takes me down a path that I'm not so sure I want to go because I am not an embellisher at all.
And yet, you did such a beautiful job.
There. Well, so what good friends you are. So she's going to pump you up for that next idea
she has. Of course she is.
Oh, no, you should have heard her when I called, and I was like, yeah, and it's all about, this lady's really into embellishing, and she was like,
yeah.
No.
No, she's not. Change the character. So you've got these things going on, and I just think that that's, you know, a totally, totally incredible partnership. Well, who's making the quilts? Deb, are you making them? And
you betcha.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, usually what happens is Marie and I will sit down, and she will either read part of the story to me that is in her head, or we'll discuss the situations that are being... You know, she may not even, I think when we talked about this last one, Marie, the book was still pretty much in a...
It was early days, yeah.
Early days, yeah. You know, so she didn't even have the whole, everything mapped out completely yet, but she gave me enough to let me know what was going on with the characters and what was the general idea that she wanted to get across, and then I go back and I fiddle. I just play, you know. Sometimes
right.
It comes almost instantaneously, but sometimes, you know, I have to think about it a little bit, and I'll put some ideas together, and sometimes I'll make a couple of different prototype-type things, and then I said, is this what you're looking for? And mm-hmm. So far she hasn't said no to anything, so I'm in good shape.
But we do, you know, actually, in this first one, if you remember, Deb, you sent me kind of a, like, well, what about this? And it was like, it was really close, but I was thinking, and then I remember, I said, remember this piece of fabric that you, and because we had been shopping, because we
to
do that,
yeah,
too.
I was going to ask about the shopping, yeah.
Yeah, I said, so remember that fabric that I went, and she was like, oh, yeah, yeah. I said, like, that's what I'm, because my job is to communicate what the quilt means in the story, mm-hmm. and how...
Right.
The quilter feels about it. I'm about the emotional content of the quilt. And I think because we're such good friends, Deb can read that from me. She knows what it is I'm feeling when I'm writing it. And she can communicate that in fabric beautifully.
Which I try to. And yeah, I think it works real well.
Well, this is great. You know, girls, what we're going to do, we're going to take a little break. Because I think it's fascinating to hear how you've worked together. We're going to come back from the break, and we're going to find out a little bit about Deb's other life as in the quilt world, and then talk to Marie some more. So we'll be right back.
And organization and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ magazine to join the fun. Welcome back to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show, and what a show it is. Strutting down the runway with a fizzle and pop is Pezzi Print by American Jane. Now it's Kate Spain, showcasing waterfalls of color and good fortune. Chloe's Closet is here with a peachy keen idea, combining two classic favorites, flannel and 30s prints. Next, let's take a walk in the woods with Anie LaVoy and discover enchanting storybook characters. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Did you know you can find your favorite books from C&T Publishing available as ebooks at ctpub.com? From new releases to classics, there are hundreds of titles to choose from. Ebooks are instant and immediate. No more waiting around for a printed book to be delivered. They take up less space and are easily portable. Plus, ebooks use very few natural resources. Look for the ebook sale button at ctpub.com to save 20% on your ebook purchase. Start browsing now at ctpub.com.
The 1 million Pillowcase Challenge continues through 2012, and we're taking the show on the road. Come sew with Jennifer Keltner, executive editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, on April 14th at Lady Fingers Sewing Studio in Ole, Pennsylvania. She'll be there all day stitching up pillowcases for a good cause. There's a special lecture tentatively scheduled for 2 p.m. Stop by and make a pillowcase, make a difference. Visit ladyfingersewing.com for all the details.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I am talking to quilt designer Deb Tucker and novelist Marie Boswick about their partnership and their novels. And so, Deb, what I want to do is ask you a little bit about your life outside of making quilts for Marie. You know,
Well, and that's pretty full, too.
Yes, I would think so. You're a pattern designer, and you're also a tool developer. So why don't you tell me a little bit about your tool, because that's so unique.
It's kind of funny. I'm actually more about creating the high-quality tools, and I write the patterns kind of by default. A little bit about my past history. I've been a quilting instructor for 30 years, and I've tried lots of different methods and tools and gadgets. And, you know, I was always one that liked to refine a new method that would come on the market, or refine a new tool, and I'd say, you know, this is really good, but if we did this and this and this, it could even be better. So about 4 or 5 years ago, I came up with an idea for making Hunter Stars, and pursued it into making a tool and a technique that has it was my first patent. It's a patented tool and a patented technique, and that has launched a whole new career for me, making tools that I've always wished that I'd had for the last 30 years.
Right. Well, there you go. That's pretty exciting to make something. You know, the Hunter Star, let's say, for instance, mm-hmm. that's something a lot of people will foundation sew because of the way set in and whatnot.
And that's one of the options. And that's mm-hmm. you know, one of the nice things about all my tools is there's simply an option that people have that mm-hmm. prefer to do things the way that I tend to like to do them, which, you know, the premise of most of my stuff is mm-hmm. I like high precision, but mm-hmm. I like ease in construction, and mm-hmm. I like the ability to trim things down and clean things up at the end so that, you know, when I'm finished with whatever I'm doing, it mm-hmm. looks really good and is very precise. And so, that was the premise, you know, the Hunter Star, it's a streamlined method that you strip piece, and so you make these pieces pretty quickly. You do it without any Y seams, and you do it with a tool that starts you out right, works with you through the middle of the project, and trims everything down at the end so that and you can see the Hunter Star on an example of that is on the photo of that you have on your blog or on your website.
Right. Right. You know, I wanted to tell people they can go to your site called studio180design.com. And on there, you have videos of your different tools.
I do. Well, you know, having been an educator for the last 30 years, I realize that people learn it in different ways. Some people learn from, you know, reading. Some people learn from looking at a picture. Some people learn by watching a video. Some people only learn by actually doing something. So what I try to do when I design my tools is to make sure that I hit all those areas of learning so that anyone who wants to use my tools is going to be able to do so.
That's a very good way of approaching it, isn't it? Because after all those years in a classroom, you know that, you know, you've got to speak to all kinds of learners.
That's exactly right.
Yes, I applaud you. That's just awesome because people are going to love this if they haven't been introduced to it. So should I ask you, did Marie finish her quilt from your workshop? You know, is that something we can ask?
Well, I know she finished the top.
I did. That was the Shadow Stars.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the little table runner that we did for the
That table runner was a nightmare for me. That was just me. Do you know, Pat, how like every once in a while you put something up on the design wall mm-hmm. and you know how it's supposed to be placed and you take it back to the machine and you sew it and you unfold it and it is not like it was supposed to be. I think I ripped that thing. And people were accusing me of like drinking at 10 o'clock in the morning, and it wasn't. I had to rip it apart like 5 times. It was purely me. It was just that day.
Well, that happens sometimes. And I'm sure Deb has seen it more than once in a classroom.
Oh, you bet.
Sometimes it's not. It's just the day. You got to walk away.
It wasn't my day. Yeah.
Yeah. The next day, it just goes all together, just like, you know, like perfect, and you wonder why. So
Well,
that's when we came up with the phrase, remember, Deb, then we were all about arrange in a pleasing manner. However you put it together, if it looks good to you, that's fine.
That sounds like a perfect solution at times.
It was.
So let me find out. You guys both travel around. Marie, why don't we first have you tell us a little bit about your touring schedule for your novel, because you get to go out on the road and meet people and share your new book.
I do. Yeah, I'm going. Although I want to say one thing, just to make sure. I think Deb's website is actually studio180design.net. Isn't that right, Deb?
It is. It's studio180design.net. Did I not say
that?
No, I said .com. It was my fault, so it's .net.
Okay, so .net. So go over there, because you're going to want our tools, everybody.
Oh, thanks, Marie.
I am going to be going all over the place. Huge, huge tour. I'm starting off my kickoff event at the Barnes & Noble in Louisville, Kentucky on April 24th, and I would love to see that bookstore crowded with quilters. That bookstore would know hit it if we had enough quilters show up. That'd be fun. And then I'm going to Paducah, and I don't have quite everything arranged on that, but I am going to – you'll be able to find me either at the Quilting Books Unlimited booth there or at Deb's booth, Studio 180 Design, which you're going to be in the bubble, right, Deb?
You bet. Out in the bubble.
So out in the bubble. So find me. I'll be one of those places for sure. And then I am heading on to Missouri, Illinois, Ohio, Indiana, upstate New York. Just I think it's like 22 appearances in 20 days or something like that. But the best place to do is go to my website, MarieBostwick.com, and if you click on the appearances, you can find where I'm going to be there, and it would make me oh so happy to meet your listeners there on the road.
Oh, I know. People have, you have to go meet both Deb and Marie, you know, at their various places. Now, Deb, you also have a calendar, and you're both going to be in Paducah, so that's
we
what's
are.
Coming up.
Every once
next.
In a while, our paths cross, and Paducah is one of those places, and we're both be there in Paducah. We're going to actually be in Cincinnati next week for the Quilts Inc. show that's in Cincinnati. So people can come there, and then we have a calendar with a listing of all of our shows that we do over the course of the year as well on our website.
Yeah, and I'm going to see you both in Paducah because I'm teaching. So
great!
We all need to like sneak out and get ice cream or food.
Yeah.
Fried thing.
Does that go along with
wine? We can always
wine?
Get ice cream. Ice cream. Yeah. Quilters always, yeah, there'll be lots of quilters there to tell us where to get the best ice cream.
So, you bet.
Now, Marie, you are working on a challenge for, did I get this right, for the Alliance for American Quilts?
The Alliance for the American Quilt, which I'm proud to be on the board of it, and I am working on their, I'm doing a little mini quilt for their Home is Where the Heart Is auction and contest, and I'm excited because I always like to try, and I'm actually going to be hopefully putting up a blog later today. I like to use this because it's a mini quilt. It's such a great opportunity to try maybe a technique that you wouldn't normally do, just, you know, because it's like 16 inches or something. It's small. So this year I'm using, I am trying so far, it's not done, but I'm working on it, some folded blocks. So I'm using some folded courthouse square blocks, and I'm having such a great time with that. It's just, it's really, you know, fascinating and fun and just gives such dimension to the quilt. So I'm having a great time with that.
Now, these quilts for the Alliance are all, they're auctioned, right, at a certain point?
Right. Well, there's two parts of it. So if you enter your mini quilt in the contest, and you can go over to their website, I can't remember.
Yeah,
Alliance,
I think it's the Alliance
for the American Quilt. .com or .org. You'll see all the details, and you have till June 1st to enter. So what happens is there is a contest, first of all, and somebody is going to win a handy quilter. It won't be me. I can't because I'm on the board, but, you know, probably, I mean, I'm a decent quilter, but probably I wasn't going to win anyway. but there's some great prizes. And then, and the quilts actually tour. Last year they showed at Houston, so I can now say I had a quilt at Houston.
There you go. That's big
and
time.
Then,
you're uptown.
And then they get auctioned off later to benefit the Alliance for the American Quilt. So that's it's just a great cause, and it's a fun, you know, fun little project to do.
So, Deb, tell me a little bit about what you're working on now. Just, you know, just personally, are you working on things for new patterns, or, you know, do you have like a little side project that you're always doing?
You know, Pat, I've always got something going on. We actually just last Monday released another brand new tool.
Oh, wow.
It's a tool that is, it follows in my line of fundamental tools. I have basically two different kind of tools. Two of them are follow my Rapid Fire Hunter Star and Rapid Fire Lemoyne Star. And then I have a number of tools that are in my fundamental tools. And these are tools that create units that you can mix and match them together to create literally thousands of different quilt designs from these basic fundamental units. So having a new tool, I'm anxious to create some new quilts and to create some new projects for that, but I've also got some new techniques that I'm going to be introducing at Spring Market. That's coming up middle of May.
Yeah. Right.
Out in Kansas City, and I'll be introducing what I call technique sheets, which are, they're not a pattern and they're not necessarily a project. They're a technique that I've picked up over the last 30 years, and I'm all about piecework. I do a little bit of applique. That's going to show up in Marie's next quilt, but primarily I'm a piecing a piecer. And so these are piecing techniques that people can apply when they're creating, you know, either someone else's patterns, trying a technique that I've developed, or creating some of their own design using techniques that I've developed.
Great. Now, I want to just wrap this up, Deb and Marie, because I want people to know that they can go to both of your websites. You both have newsletters, right?
We do.
Yep. So they can go sign up for your newsletters, and to get in on this fun project for Marie's books, you can go and sign up for her group at her website, marieboswick.com. And I really congratulate you, and I'm excited about your new book, Marie. And Deb, I can't wait to see all the quilts you're producing.
Well, thanks, Pat, and I can't wait to see you in Paducah.
Yes. Ice cream date it is, Pat.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. We're going to run away to get ice cream.
Oh, so twist my arm.
Yeah. So we're going to take a little break, folks. And when we come back, we're going to learn a little bit about quilting in Alaska. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. You're listening to American Patchwork and Quilting. We'll be right back.
Or a couple of weeks. Pick up a copy of All Small, on sale now, featuring projects created with Moda Fabrics. We've assembled a collection of projects that are little in size, but big on style. Find All Small at your local quilt shop or newsstand today.
Whatever your style, whatever your skill, you'll find everything you need to start sewing today at PatternSpot.com, the downloadable pattern marketplace. It's a one-stop shop with hundreds of designers and thousands of patterns all online under one virtual roof. Go to PatternSpot.com and sign up for our email list to get 20% off your next purchase. From quilts, home decor, and wearables to fabric crafts and accessories, PatternSpot.com is your one-stop pattern shop.
We're back at the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. You can just feel the excitement. Minnick and Simpson are back with Prairie Paisley 2, a collection with the rich, layered look of a well-loved fabric stash. Here comes Sandy Gervais getting sassy with this bright and cheerful line. Up next, Deb Strain's Tend the Earth is bringing the peaceful feeling of a garden to the runway. Ooh la la, it's Bunny Hill Designs, and baby's going to Paris. Stay tuned for more runway reporting, and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Baby Lock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. One of the best parts about being the radio show host here is that I am able to meet new people, different people from all around the world. As you know, we've interviewed people from other countries even. One of the things that I find fascinating, whether I'm out traveling and meeting all of you, teaching at a show, wherever I am, I love chatting with quilters. I just think it's fascinating to hear about quilting in different parts of the country, in different countries, even different regions within a state. Are, you know, things are just not always the same, and I love hearing about them. So Roseanne Kermes, who is a regular guest on the show, she suggested I contact Terry Stavis up in Alaska, who is a blogger and a quilter and belongs to a really fun guild up there, and just have her on the show to find out what quilting in Alaska is like. So, Terry, how are you?
Well, I'm fine, and greetings from Cordova, Alaska.
Yes, you're way out there. Now, tell us, where is Cordova for those who don't have their atlas out in front of them at the moment?
Well, we're a coastal community in South Central Alaska on a body of water called Prince William Sound. And you can only get here by air or by sea.
I know. That's the part that just gets me. It's like I can't drive to visit you.
No, but you're welcome to fly in.
Okay. I can do that part too. That's so, Terry, you have a full-time job. You're a teacher, right?
Correct. Uh-huh. Yep. And, I teach at the junior, senior high school here, and I teach home economics.
Ah, I didn't even know they taught home ec anymore. So have you always taught home ec, or did it ever go away in Alaska, or has it always been there?
Well, actually, it has always been here in Cordova. And the good news is, for people in your industry, is it seems to be, especially with the economy and a lot of things aren't taught at home anymore, it seems to be on the upswing.
Ooh,
so I'm really excited about that. Yeah,
very, very cool. So let's talk a little bit about quilting in your part of the world. Mm-hmm. And you write a really nice blog called dilly/dallydays.blogspot.com, where you sort of document what it's like to be a quilter in Alaska, or just what your life is like. How big is your quilt community? Being, you know, you have a guild. Do you have multiple guilds? Is Cordova big enough for that? You know, what is it like there?
We are a relatively small community. Our stable population is about 2,500 in the summer, because our primary industry is commercial fishing, especially salmon. All that Copper River salmon that you guys enjoy there in Washington, D.C. and all over the world comes from my little corner of the planet.
Aha,
and
it's good.
So, yeah, it's delicious. And our population doubles in the summer. So our quilt population also fluctuates. Mm-hmm. What's wonderful about our quilt community is they range in age from teenagers all the way up until the 80s and 90s. So it's a very eclectic group.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It is wonderful. When you live someplace remote like this, mm-hmm. one of the most important things you learn in order to be happy in a place like this is you have to learn to entertain yourself. So if you've been following my blog, or if you check our guild blog, you know that we're very good at entertaining ourselves and creating our own little happy events.
Yeah, I always see you have very fun meetings and
yeah, we
quilt
do.
Alongs. Yes, you're always at food. Food seems very important. That's it's because you're a true quilter. So that's that's a good thing. Now, because you know, this may sound odd, but I've been places where you know they don't quilt in the summer because they have very cold. You know, they're inside all winter, and when the summer comes, you know, nobody quilts. I mean, even here in Virginia, which doesn't get that cold in the winter, our guilds don't run in the summer. We don't have any meetings or anything. What is it like for your area? Do you just go right through?
Yeah, summers are very busy here, especially if you work in the fishing industry. But, you know, our warmest, it's a very hot day if it gets 70 degrees here in the summer. So gardening is somewhat limited, so we don't have that distraction. Mm-hmm. And even though we're busy and working during the summer, we still have a need to socialize. And quilting for us, a great deal of it is our social life. You know,
so it's a lifestyle. You don't give
it up. It is a lifestyle. Right. Mm-hmm. It is a lifestyle. Yeah, it really is.
Now, so, how many people are in your actual guild?
Well, we are a guild. Mm-hmm. We're not very strict.
Okay.
So membership is rather loose. Mm-hmm. It's hard to put hard numbers to any of that because, you know, we have some events where 40 people may show up, and then we have other events where 6 people may show up. So we're not as structured as a lot of other guilds may be. The most important thing our guild does is where we do have structure is we do have nonprofit status. Mm-hmm. And we do that because we do offer very generous scholarships to our graduating seniors that are outstanding in home economics, which is really wonderful. So, we're structured enough to make that happen.
Right,
but as
far
as membership and all that goes, we're pretty loosey-goosey.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's fun. That makes it enjoyable, probably makes your community a little bit different than some of the more structured groups.
And it keeps them from making quilting too serious.
I know. I belong to a mega guild. We have like 12 chapters and like, you know, thousands of people. Yeah, it's a crazy place. So do you have a quilt shop in your town?
Actually, we do. And we have it's more of a fabric store. And it's been in operation. It's had multiple owners, and it's been in operation for many years. And that really helps me out in the classroom because I have that kind of support. And then one of my QBs, is opening up a new quilt shop here in a few months. So, yeah, it's amazing.
And what's a QB? Tell everybody what a QB is.
A QB is a quilt buddy.
Okay, there you go.
For quilt buddy. Yeah.
So you're getting a new quilt shop that's just going to be quilting?
That's just going to specialize in quilting, yeah.
Oh, that must be so exciting.
Oh, we're so excited. I mean, we're beside ourselves. Yeah. We're silly.
Now, did you grow up in this town?
No, I grew up in northern Minnesota, graduated from college, and came to Alaska just to teach for a few years for 2 years as an adventure, and that was 33 years ago.
As an adventure. You went from one cold place to another, so.
Yeah.
I'm a person who likes warm weather, Terry, so if you follow me at all now, from now on, you're going to remember that. It's like, you know, I don't want to go north of my home, let alone.
Well, if we get you up here, we promise to dress you warmly.
Okay. I will need it, for sure, for sure. So, I'm curious, you know, because do you make like a lot of flannel quilts and use wool batting, or is there like, or is your group probably isn't like focused just on one thing?
You know what really happened is, of course, when you live in a remote area like this, the new technology, the internet, that really changed everything for us. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So actually, even though, you know, I think probably a lot of people who live here tend towards the Northwoods kind of thematic quilting, but actually, all in all, we're pretty eclectic. Mm-hmm. You know, we really have people who dabble in just about everything, and of course, dabbling is a very important part of the dilly-dally lifestyle.
Right.
So we're willing to try anything.
Everybody has to read Terry's blog so that you can get up on the Terry-isms and be, you know, have fun with your quilting. Really, Terry, that's what you do.
Really, yeah. Really, you know, so much of life can be difficult. This part of our lives should be nothing but fun.
Yeah, and, I totally agree.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I like about you, following you for years and listening to the radio, is you really promote the fun side of it. And that's so much, you know, our leisure time is so short, and we live such busy lives that this part of our lives should be nothing but joy.
I figure it's our hobby, isn't it, Terry? You know, it truly is your hobby because you're not in the business of quilting. You're in the business of teaching people to sew, but that's not, you know, that's a different kind of job. And
it
your hobby, it's supposed to be fun.
Exactly. And you're supposed to surround yourself with people who understand that. And so the party just goes on and on.
I like that. I like that. Now, tell me real quickly, Bonnie Hunter came up to visit you.
I know.
What was that? Do you have a lot of people come up to your guild, or is this sort of a
not a real comment? She's the first major quilt rock star we've had come up. So she was, you know how we had to book her a couple of years in advance, and we had to make the financial commitment, you know, and all of that. And I'm so glad that in our first effort at that, we chose her because she was phenomenal, as you know, because you've worked with her.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing is when you come up here to where I live and when you come to remote areas, you really have to adapt to whatever lifestyle we live here. You know, you're not going to find all the comforts and things that you might find somewhere else. And she was such a good sport. I mean, that woman saw all four seasons of weather while she was here. We took her hiking. We took her, you know, I mean, it was wonderful. And if you read her blog posts about her visit, we were so touched by her kindness towards us. Yeah, it was a phenomenal experience.
That's so,
really
so hopefully you guys will do it again then. You'll invite, you know, put it all together.
That's the plan. And if I have any influence, that's definitely the plan. Yeah.
Good. Well, that was really cool that Bonnie Hunter got to come up there. Bonnie's been on the show several times, and so people have heard her talk with me on the radio. Plus, she's my good friend, so
I know
you had a good time. So when how often do you get to leave your lovely state of Alaska and visit other places? Do you travel a lot?
Well, I do in the summers. My children now live down in Minnesota. And so I travel to Minnesota, of course, every summer. And and as a teacher, you know, summers are when I travel. And I like to do that because I like to get out into the real world and see what's happening there. So I usually travel to Minnesota.
And that's how you know Roseanne, because of your travels.
Yeah. I met Roseanne. I was on one of the tour buses for the Minnesota Shop Hop in 2008. And of all 8 shops we visited that day, that was the one I remembered, and it was because of Roseanne. Roseanne, as shop owner, made personal contact with each and every one of us as we got off the bus, which, as you know, 60 or plus people getting off the bus. So I remembered her and remembered her shop. And so the next year, 2009, I started the blog with the only purpose of recording my Minnesota Shop Hop experience that year to entice my cubies to come with me. And so Roseanne became, I don't know, she's just so personable, you know, and
she is
incredible. And so I don't know why she was so nice to me. I certainly am not special in any way, but she has been such a blessing in my life. I just really enjoy her. She's like having another cheerleader. She's great.
She is. Terry, this has just been amazing. I've been so happy to have you on here and share your quilting life in Alaska. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks for reading the blog. I'm very touched.
Ah, well, we'll be chatting. And we're going to be right back with another segment at American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
And Quilts and More magazines, go to allpeoplequilt.com and click on Find a Shop.
Welcome to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. We've got a great lineup for you today. Entering with the Spin, Twirl by Me and My Sister Designs brings a playful and fun vibe to the runway. Oh, Hello Luscious by Basic Gray. You looking good, girl. Up next, Reunion by Sweetwater offers a fresh take on navy by pairing it with gray and happy shades of green, yellow, and red. Look who's coming now. It's the Berenstain Bears, a childhood favorite. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
At Stash Books, we work to inspire you to use fabric to create a beautiful handmade lifestyle. We're passionate about inspirational designs, accurate instructions, and finding authors that you want to know and learn from. Visit StashBooks.com for a behind-the-scenes look at this season's new releases, including Modern Minimal by Elisa Haight Carlton, Modern Patchwork by Elizabeth Hartman, and much more. Sign up for our email list at StashBooks.com and get 20% off your next order.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Win $10,000 cash to stock your stash. Enter today to win the ultimate $10,000 crafting giveaway at allpeoplequilt.com/craft giveaway.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. This is your host, Pat Sloan. So, how do you feel about color? Are you nervous about putting colors together? Do you have colors you only go to? Do you have colors that you never go to? You know, I'm not too fearful of color, but in recent months, my friend Victoria Finley Wolf of Bumble Beans, she gave me a little interview and a little challenge, and I discovered there is a color that may not be my very favorite. So I thought it'd be really fun to have Victoria come on here and talk color with me. So hi, Victoria.
Hey, Pat. How are you?
I am great. You know, I'm just really, like, blown away by the mauve thing. Mauve is really not my...
Well, I have to say, your colorful interview that I did, you were the one who pointed out mauve. And when you said that, it definitely hit a nerve with me. And I think that color in particular hits a nerve with a whole lot of people out there.
Yeah. It's one lady wrote, I put a thing on my blog, and she wrote about going in as a realtor and trying to figure out what that pink color was, the carpeting was. And the person was so proud that that was the mauve or the mauve. And, you know, she doesn't think she got that house to sell either, because I think she turned
just
her nose up at
color.
It. Yeah. So what do you say? Your color sense is fabulous, Victoria.
Oh, thank you.
And you know, what do you talk to? You know, you have two websites. Your main one is bumblebeansinc.blogspot.com, and you also have your 15 minutes of play, which is where the mauve discussion is going on.
Right.
But what do you do to motivate people? Why do you feel compelled to help people with their color?
Well, I think just being the quilter that I am, a lot of people will ask questions, or they'll say, you know, I can tell a Victoria quilt just by the color palettes, or we look at somebody else's quilts and we can tell by their color palettes. And I'm always sort of curious, what is it about the colors that we choose, and what is it about the colors that we don't choose? And the color interviews that I've been doing recently, and the challenge that I started on the 15 minutes site was really sort of looking at the colors that I seem to find that people have color baggage attached to them. Like, for instance, when you hear mauve, people just sort of cringe, and they think the 80s, and they think, you know, forest green goes with it. And there's just sort of this icky vibe that kind of goes with the color. And I thought, if we take those colors and break them down and look at them individually, and then challenge yourself to try to see what you can do to bring that color alive, that maybe you'll get rid of the color baggage that you're carrying with it, and you'll look at it in a new light.
You know, it's really, you have to dig around for some of those colors, don't you? Because you just don't buy them if they're not speaking to you.
Yeah, well, it's been fun to do this challenge and realizing that they still have mauve in their stashes. They think they've all, you know, thrown them away as soon as the 90s hit, but you know, that's just not the case. And and I'm actually seeing a lot of the colors that are coming in the new fabrics now, you know, like especially since gray has been back and so popular, that a lot of the colors are kind of getting grayed out again. And so maybe mauve will be back in style, because there was a point when people loved that color. It didn't have the negative color baggage that it has now.
Right. It was a decorative color at one point.
Oh, totally. That was... You know, that mauve color, the dusty blue color, forest green. Don't forget peach and sea foam. There's some lovely colors. You know, they're all things that, you know, right now all the brights and stuff are in. But, you know, I'm curious to see where the color is going now with all these grayed out kind of colors coming back in.
So tell me a little bit about the colorful interviews, because people can go and read all of them. You have a nice list of them on your right sidebar. What surprised you about doing, what is surprising you about doing these interviews with different designers?
Well, the thing that I was curious about finding out, for me, when I did those questions for myself, I was able to sort of look back and realize that the colors that I use the most in my palette of quilts now are actually colors that I was sort of surrounded with when I was a very small child. The red, gold, kind of an aqua color, you know, things that were very popular in the 70s. Our whole house was sort of that sort of tone of colors. And so I was really curious to see if other people had that kind of reaction to color, if they could trace it back to something in their childhood. And I think a lot of people could. And I think maybe a lot of people hadn't really thought about it so much, and were presently surprised that, you know, there are reasons that they would, that they were selecting the colors.
Yeah, I do think, like you asked me, you know, about my favorite color, and, you know, I think a lot of people would say they think my favorite color is red, but it really isn't. It's yellow. I mean, I just love screaming bright crayon box yellow. I don't actually use it in a lot of things, but...
Right.
You know, I don't dress in it. I would look half dead probably. But, you know, my hall, one hallway is painted that color. And I've loved that color since I was a kid. That was, you know, draw the sunshine.
Were you surrounded with that color around you in your home?
No, but there was a prom. No, my house was all white. Yeah, but there was a promise of my bedroom being painted that. And then we moved.
So that promise was never realized, but you hung on to that color.
I did.
Yeah, well, that makes sense, right?
I had a
purple bedroom at one point, and I just sort of loathed the color purple for a very long time. And purple and gold were also the colors of their sports team in my high school. And, you know, if you think like a purple Concord grape with a slice of Velveeta cheese gold on top of it, that was kind of the colors and then kind of the baggage that I carried around with those colors. And I always thought I would never make a purple and gold quilt. But, you know, when you break the colors down and look at them individually and realize that there is a light end to that palette of purple, and there's a dark end to that color of purple, you know, that you have a whole range in between, that it doesn't just have to be Concord grape with a slice of Velveeta on top.
Right.
You know, you look at the grand scale of it, and you can actually find colors in there that you'll like and colors that you'll use.
Now, talk a little bit about, you use a lot of very bold prints, a lot of prints that have a lot of colors in them. How do you pick those up and use them? I mean, a lot of them are like Kafe's prints. You know, that's a good example of everybody sort of can visualize what I'm talking about, like a big floral with a lot of colors. When you pick that up and you're going to make a quilt with green, and, you know, do you look at those prints in a certain way to see how they're going to work?
There's usually always a standard color in the print that I'm looking for. If it's something that's in the green and I'm looking for a red, it might be a Kafe red. You know, Kafe just does color better than anybody else ever. So when you see some of his reds and there's a fabric of his that has like 10 different colors in it that you can, anything looks good cut down, whether it's a beautiful print or an ugly print, as long as you cut it down, you can make that work in just about anything. So if I'm looking at a big print, you know, you're breaking it down and trying to, you know, focus on one of the colors out of that print and using the other colors as a highlight.
Right, so you're not looking at all of the colors as big, like a big pot of soup or anything. To you, you're sort of focusing in on the color that you're trying to work with.
Exactly, and then the other colors just sort of become secondary.
Yeah, they're friends. They're the friends that come along. Yeah.
Well, because all colors are friends. They all play nicely together. If you stick them, you know, people get intimidated. They think, oh, I can't put colors together like that. I can't do that. But frankly, you know, we all know color. You know, every day we're making choices about, you know, what color car we drive, what color shirt we wear with our pants, what color, you know, we paint our nails. Or, you know, we're always making decisions about colors, about what things we like. And so it's looking at the things for yourself, colors that you enjoy, and if you see something that has 10 colors in it, then that may be that's your next quilt, the next palette of 10 colors you want to use in a quilt, or maybe it's just two colors. You know, you're associating them with things that you like, so that's what you should be looking for. And if mauve happens to fall into that palette, then hey, go for it. What are you going to put with it to make it look good?
I know.
As we're seeing on those challenges, orange doesn't look so bad with it.
I'm going to have to dig. I've shown three of them on my blog, and it's like, oh, now I'm going to have to dig them out because Victoria's challenging me. I'm going to have to go and put something. I've been watching what everybody was using on your 15minutesofplay.com, and they're just amazing, aren't they? Just fun stuff.
Well, things that you would have never thought. And the other thing that's nice about that is that you can, you know, taking a dull fabric and then looking at brights that will enhance it, and finding a dark that might bring that color level up in the dusty, mauve-y kind of color. You know, you're sort of playing on your lights and dark kind of a palette. And, you know, sometimes that dull, drab fabric is just what it needs inside of all of those bright fabrics. But you won't know unless you take a few minutes. Take 15 minutes and just play and sew and sew some colors together. And sometimes you'll say, oh, that works. And sometimes you'll say that certainly doesn't work, but you know, you've learned and you've only spent 15 minutes learning which of those colors will work for you.
What can you suggest for someone who's really never worked like that? You know, they maybe have worked in a typical, you know, traditional blocks based, you know, quilt structure, but instead, you know, you suggest, you know, just sort of cutting up strips and sort of laying them out in fun ways. You know, how can people sort of break into that mode of working?
Well, for me, I mean, that's kind of how my process starts, is those back to those 15 minutes. I mean, back when I was a younger mother and my child was young and I only had 15 minutes to play, sometimes it was just throwing things together quickly without making, you know, conscious thoughts about it and then just putting it aside and coming back to it 15 minutes later. And I think that's a good exercise to be in as a warm-up to get you to start looking at colors. Don't think about it at first. Just think about, you know, just grabbing different scraps out of your bin and sewing them together and then looking at it and looking. Is there something in there that you, a combination of colors that you see that you like? Are there darks and lights that are working that are jumping out at you? You know, you're looking for the discoveries as you're making them in just those little blocks of time.
Ooh. Now, we'll touch on something else.
I find is a good exercise.
Oh, that's excellent. That they just need to just do it. It's, you know, sometimes.
You just need to do it. Yeah.
Just do it.
But challenge. Come on 15 minutes and challenge and play.
I'm going to get the mauve out of the box.
That'll
again.
Get you going.
I want to do real quick before you go. You are one of the Aurifil designers of the month, and you did a gorgeous embroidery, which is free. So that was pretty cool.
That was fun to do. Yep, you're stretching me to get my pens and pencils back out, Pat. So I gotta start drawing some more and playing with the threads has been a great challenge.
Yeah, and then you did a series with some beautiful birds that you had embroidered and then set with your fun fabric piecing.
Yeah, that was you know, inspired by my china dishes. Inspiration's everywhere around you, but, you know, seeing something and trying to make something that will go with my house, and the birds sort of popped up, and my grandmother did some really beautiful embroideries, and I have this piece of hers that she did of a peacock that was just amazing, and so I'm totally inspired by the work of my grandmother, so she's always sort of in the back of my mind, and so when I saw the peacock thing, the bird thing kind of just took off, so...
Well, it's gorgeous. I want everybody to go visit Victoria Findlay Wolf at bumblebeansinc.blogspot.com. Thank you, Victoria.
Thanks, Pat. Talk soon.
This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Come back next week for all new guests.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening.